All right, SEC Media Days traditions. That good old Swamp 24/7. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Yeah, a tradition that is, a couple years removed now since I made that little jump. I'm so glad to be back, though, and I knew this is the first place I wanted to stop.
The man with the golden hair.
Hey, it's kind of gone down a little bit at this point now. I gave it a little trim.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I take a little pride whenever, like, you Google someone's name or their Twitter profile is, like, one of our, like, a snapshot from one of our videos.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, hey, people helping people, you know what?
Yeah.
I remember when the last time we did this, yeah, like the sun was coming in so perfectly. My hair actually looked golden. It was great. I knew I had to take that.
We're like this Scottie Pippen of football media. We'll never be Jordan, but we set up a lot of people. So.
Yeah, you've done it for me. Right, for that, I am eternally grateful.
Hell yeah, man.
So the Gators, I've been asking so many people about this. I know you don't cover Oklahoma, but Oklahoma and Florida, I think, are in like a similar boat where their fan bases a little bit down at the end of last year. Obviously, Florida a lot higher because the way they finished. But from Billy was getting booed out of the stadium. I was watching Fine Mom Show. We want Kiffin. To go from that to investing in this football program, they're getting players out of the portal, they're killing it in recruiting. Now you got all this expectation. But with that, if you go 6-6, 7-5 again, I don't even think that should be good enough for Florida, but how could that be? So it's almost like a double-edged sword. Do you feel that to where, you're getting support, but you better deliver.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, internally, they're boasting a lot of confidence. I think that no matter who you talk to, and I think even Scott Strickland somewhat recently came out and was, he was confident that this thing is going in the right direction. And like, if that were to be the case, it does not go the way that people are anticipating at this point, then like there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, I would imagine. Like they can put out the vibes of everything's great and that we're trending in the right direction as much as they want to. And like I think it's rightfully earned with the way that last season ended, but sets up a potentially disastrous situation if it ends up not going according to plan. And I know that the casual Florida fan maybe will look at this and say, oh, wow, like what a turnaround. This is exactly what we've been waiting for. Of course, like they've got a lot of reason to be optimistic about this season. I think this is the most talented Florida team under Billy for sure. I think in my going on six seasons of covering them, it's second most talented behind 2020. It might even contest 2020 in some different ways. But you ask the not-so-casual Florida fan, they still have their reasons of being skeptical based off what they've seen these last 3 years, and they don't want to necessarily look at a four-game sample size and say, okay, we've made it. So it really depends on who you ask, I guess, at the end of the day.
Going back to the Strickland thing, if this doesn't work, I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to have an AD that has my back as much as Strickland does, but is it so entangled now that if this Napier hire does not work, he would be worried about his job potentially?
I think it really helps that they just won the national championship in basketball. I think that's a huge lifeline, right? Todd Golden isn't getting $51 million or the $85 million practice facility. Now he's getting a lot off this extension after winning, but like it's a totally different ballgame, kind of like you were referring to. Who's to say? I mean, you kind of have to go down with the ship if you're the captain, right? And if that's what ends up happening, I don't really, in this day and age, you don't see many ADs making three football hires. That's kind of how I view it.
What's the latest on DJ Lagway? Because Shane always is giving me a hard time because I'm high on Florida. I think they'll be really good this year. But he says, well, heck, over-under 6.5. If I had a nickel for every time Shane said that this offseason. But I said, well, they're probably factoring in the uncertainty of DJ Lagway. What's confidence level that he's the starter for the entire year?
That's an interesting way to question it. I've not thought about it like that before. I've been led to believe that I think he starts week one. He came out here today and mentioned after I think two or three questions about his shoulder, he was like, I just want everyone to know, like, this is not a prosthetic, which is nice. Like, it's good to hear that. But at the same time, like, he's saying he's feeling great, that he can make all the throws that he was doing before. I've been kind of putting it this way all offseason. Billy Napier has put it similarly that, like, things are great going according to plan. He's been throwing behind the scenes. I want to see it. Like, I truly want to see this before I fully believe that, yeah, he'll be good to go for all 12-plus games of the season, that he is throwing at the level he was doing before. And maybe I'll, like, eat my words and that everything will be great, because when he's great, you could tell. You could see it. But I'm in wait and see mode. If he comes out in a no contact, well, quarterbacks always do. But if he comes out and he's not throwing passes, or you can tell that there's like some simulation that they're still doing, like they were doing in the spring training camp, I think that all of a sudden that line might move down even more. Like, they're skeptical now, and I think that it would be like panic sirens going off at that point.
Let me ask you, Florida success, we always go to DJ. It's as good as DJ takes it. We did this with Arch Manning. I heard John Materia. As good as John Materia is, as good as Oklahoma will be. But it's going to take more than DJ this year. If we fast forward, it's December, and Florida has this phenomenal season. Other than DJ Lagway, it was because this happened. Is there something that you're looking on that football team to kind of take that next step, whether it be the defense?
The defense maintaining what it was doing last year at the end of last season. And I think that presents a challenge in and of itself, because there's a lot of great depth in the middle of that defense, for one. Edge room, I think, stacks up really well. This interior defensive line got very thin this offseason, based on losses to the NFL and graduation, some transfers, health. I mean, Caleb Banks was another one that in spring didn't do anything because of a foot injury. He says he's great. He is the, you know, key cog in the middle of that defense at this point, but you turn around behind him, everyone's got like 200 career snaps or fewer. So it's going to take, I think, a huge jump, especially from interior defensive linemen. Probably say the same thing about some players in the secondary, more so because of injury concerns. But if the defense can come out and be top to bottom healthy, but also, again, picking up where they left off last year, I think that that can do a lot to elevate this team, even if DJ is not 100% or you see limitations from him.
Two critical road games early for Florida, at LSU, followed by at Miami. What record Florida need to have in those two games specifically if they're going to have a really good season?
2-0, I think. And, it, you know, again, it hinges on the health of DJ and everything coming together. In a hypothetical where everything's good, everything's maybe it's not even so hypothetical, I think they're a better team than LSU. And I know that going on the road and playing them in Death Valley at night is going to be a totally different equation. But I personally, I don't really buy the Garrett Nussmeier hype as much as I think a lot of people out there do. And I think it's going to take some time for that LSU offense to gel with all the new contributors that are coming in. It kind of sets up well for Florida to go in and pull off an upset. Miami, I'm also not as huge on Carson Beck at this point. And I think a lot of that has to do with last year, right, and how things kind of, you know, went downhill for him. I think Florida has a pretty good chance, if everything's going right health-wise, to go into those games and win both of them. I can go ahead and spoil it now. I see this as being a potentially 9-3 team with some weird losses in there. Texas is one that currently I would circle. Texas A&M is kind of another one that I would circle. I think that that's going to be an interesting challenge for this defense with the way that Marcel Reed operated against them last year and mobile quarterbacks traditionally have. And then Georgia, it's kind of the same deal as a Lagway injury. I'll believe it when I see it. I could see it, but I will believe it happening when I see it.
I wanted to ask, the Swamp was in the news a couple of months ago, you know, about the renovations that are coming up. I think they said $500 million being involved here. What is the timeline of that? And what exactly? Because I thought the first opening was reduction of seats. The Swamp will have less seats. But what is the ultimate goal that Strickland's wanting to have here?
I think he really just wants to modernize it. And you can tell, like, there are things in the stadium that certainly need to be revamped. And I know that there's been talk about new scoreboards. I don't really know much about a timeline, because they've been kind of, like, letting details out very, very little by little. But at the end of the day, I think he actually said recently that there was some sort of compensation plan in place to not lose as many seats as people originally feared, if any. I mean, maybe a couple here and there, but if it's 87 versus 88, like, are people going to be that upset if they've got a new scoreboard, they've got new bleachers, they've got new amenities, anything going on in there? I would love to get my hands on the whole project at this point, is kind of how I would put it.
Does it surprise you at all that idiots like me have the Swamp as the toughest place to play in the SEC? Because, man, their record there is outstanding, but I think it's part because I'm a Tennessee graduate, and I've just seen Tennessee get their ass kicked so many times down there. The heat, the humidity, I mean, it's just, man, that to me is the toughest place to play in the conference.
Yeah, there's still a couple stadiums that I need to check off my list, but I would have it near the top, if not at the top. I would have Tennessee nearer at the top. The first time, only time I ever went in there, that press box was legitimately shaking. I think I've experienced there in A&M where it feels like you're not stable. Death Valley is another one where it's just I mean, having 100,000 plus people in a place, man, is crazy. And while they get a lot of people who are excited in the Swamp, like, seeing those kinds of numbers is out of this world. That's kind of where I'd have it, top four.
Well, or do you think this, you talk about recruiting class, that's one of the things that I always look at. Obviously, if you keep bringing in top classes, you're going to eventually have good seasons. What would you say kind of the buzz? Because they're a hot team right now on the recruiting trail. You know, what is kind of the stuff you're hearing on that side of the football?
That they really trust their evaluations. And I know that people will look at, they've gone on this incredible run of commitments. People will look at the class rankings and a lot of low 4 stars to high 3 stars and wonder if that's the recruiting level Florida needs to be at. I think that a lot of their evaluations have hit in the past few years. Again, it still like needs to all come together for more than 4 games. But I think that they've earned that benefit of the doubt, at least when it comes to that. And there are some players in this class. One of the roles I've taken on with Swamp 247 is I do individual scouting reports on the commitments. And like, I mean no disrespect to my own company, but I see some and I do wonder like, oh, should they be up a little bit more? Maybe. And I think that ultimately that will come true by the end of the cycle. We'll start to see some of these guys rise up the rankings. One of my favorites I'll just put out there right now is Justin Williams from Buchholz. I think that guy is a legitimate, like, potential A.J. Brown type of player for the offense. And, you know, long way to go. But, like, the way he plays football, the way he tracks the ball in as a receiver, which is where I think he'll end up being, it's special. And it's crazy that it is in Florida's backyard, too, where they've got a caliber player like that.
Yeah, no, I don't follow recruiting like I used to. I get more into it once I get hit in college. But a name every Florida fan already knows, but the rest of the SEC may learn soon. Their true freshman, Dallas Wilson, right? I mean, how could he be? I don't want to throw like Cam Coleman, Ryan Williams, Jeremiah Smith on him, but could he be close to that for Florida? I mean, that could be a missing piece for Florida. If he's that, what is Florida's offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are still questions about the scheme itself or the way that the offense operates. Like, I don't think we'll ever necessarily see a receiver, even of Dallas Wilson's potential caliber, come out and do numbers like a Jeremiah Smith. And not that those are easily replicable anywhere. That said, yeah, there's just a different level of threat, of vertical threat, of physical threat. I mean, this guy does not look like an 18, 19-year-old receiver. The way that he runs routes is, even just in the spring game, like it looked like a much more mature player than, quite frankly, a lot of the receivers that they've had on the roster over the last few years. And you can tell that there's just a different kind of edge to this guy. I think he'll play a lot as a freshman. I think he offers a much different kind of skill set where he can be a go-get-it guy but also run sharp routes and break deep. I think he can kind of do it all, and I don't mean to necessarily throw it on him too much either as a freshman. Like, maybe I should temper the expectations, but I think of any recruit that they've brought in, sans DJ Lagway, this has got to be my favorite one of the Billy Napier tenure so far.
First, I mean, we talk Florida. First thing they want to talk about is the schedule, and it's a daunting one. I'm looking at it right now, 2 on the road with LSU and Miami. But let's just say by that Texas game, let's just say the month of September, Florida Gators, in your opinion, will be 4-0, 3-1?
I'm going to go 4-0, as long as Lagway is healthy, and it doesn't look like there have been any setbacks from the injuries that he's had this offseason. I believe truly that this is the most talented roster that they've had. The only thing that can get in their way aside from injuries, I guess, is some of the coaching decisions we've seen over the years with Billy Napier in the offense. But with the weaponry like Dallas Wilson we were just talking about and some of these other guys. And at the end of the day, what we saw when DJ Lagway was out there, even when he played hurt last year, you know, it is still different. And you can tell that this offense can grind out games and win. I don't really see a reason why they shouldn't at least be 3-1, if not 4-0.
And how bad do you think they'd lose to Tennessee on November 22nd? Just curious.
That's a long time from now. We'll have to circle back to that one.
Well, I believe it was last year they introduced the special teams, Matt, and that didn't even go so well. Are there any other innovations that they've unveiled to help special teams and specifically getting the right number of players out on the field?
I don't think so. I think that they are really relying on that mat, which is, you know, it's no further comment. That's something.
But you're right. Billy Napier, again, I like to give these coaches a hard time, but I think he's awesome Sunday to Friday. But I think he's got a long way to go on Saturday. And that worries me as someone that's high on DJ Lagway, high on the Florida Gators. I think I'm not predicting them to make the playoff, but I think they're going to be in the discussion all season long. But that's kind of crazy to say, and in the same sentence say, well, I don't know how good of a game day coach they have. But I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I truly look at it as being one of the most talented Florida teams I've covered. And like that will win you games even in the SEC. It just will. It'll separate you. Will Napier, as the offensive play caller, will some of these special teams mishaps? I mean, fortunately, I think for the defense, they kind of found their groove when they made the switch to Ron Roberts as defensive coordinator. I think that they finally found some stability there. Will the offense find that same stability that I would say it got close to having, but still, even in like that Gasparilla Bowl, you see these route combos sometimes with two or three receivers, and like they all end up in the same space. Defensive backs are just circling them. DJ's got to abandon his read and run and try and do something on his own. That's not sound offensive coordinating to me. And I would hope that when you've got this much talent around, you've got this kind of quarterback, you've got four returning offensive line starters and a fifth who played 370 snaps last year, that you try and open things up as best you can. Man, maybe I'm in for a surprise, but 3 years of what, like a fourth and three Trevor Etienne, like snap through the legs kind of thing, a third and four little shovel pass to a tight end and running the ball to set up third and manageable instead of being aggressive to take shots, interesting route combos where there's not much space. I think there are a lot of things you can nitpick that can cause concern when it comes to that game day material.
Last thing I've got for you, and I appreciate your time. A lot of coaches came out here this week with an agenda. You know, I felt like Coach Kelly came out here and said, this is our year. You know, I mean, he's like all the chips are in the middle of the table, you know. What do you think if you were to ask Billy Trusurum here, does he feel like this is the year that we've been building up to?
He plays it off so well as it's one day at a time. Like, I don't know what that answer would be other than I don't know how you could put it any other way, right? The amount of returning talent, the players they kept from entering the NFL draft, and he's made a big point of that, how retention is, A, more important than ever, and B, something that they figured out. So I think that would lend a decent bit of credence to the argument. Having Lagway, having the receiving core that they've managed to put together. I mean, you think about Eugene Wilson and the threat he poses, and he was barely there last year. So to get him back alongside of J. Michael Sturtevant, alongside of Dallas Wilson, Aiden Mizell stepped up in a way last year, and there are some other players you can do that with. Linebacker core is really strong. When they're healthy, I think the secondary can be pretty good. Again, these edge rushers, I think, are legitimately too deep, and one of them's a five-star backup. So, like, it's all there, and the excuse rope is running very, very thin at this point. I would think that when you put all those things together, with college football being so fluid, yeah, this has to be the year. Otherwise, you know, we're getting into contract extension talk soon with Billy Napier. He'll have 3 years left on his deal after this. Is that something that Florida's going to be willing to commit to at that point if it's not the year?
All right, last thing, Zach, really appreciate you. All week, we're brought to you by MyBookie. That's our presenting sponsor. They're paying our way here, so we're asking everybody that stops by for their MyBookie boldest take for the upcoming season. Could be Florida, could be anything SEC related. You have a bold take for us?
I mean, I've seen a lot of playoff projections, and I kind of already did this, with LSU in them, not buying the hype. That's the way I would put it. I'm not trying to say they have a very disappointing season or anything, but, like, I'm just not seeing it the way that a lot of other people are seeing it, I think.
Coach Kelly lied to us. I knew it.
It's always everyone's year, man. It's my year. This is my year.
All right, before you go, tell our audience how to follow you, how to find your work.
You guys can find me at Zach_Goodall on Twitter. It's all over at Swamp247. Joined them earlier this year, and I'm thrilled to be a part of the team.